Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to yet another conversation in the book of Luke. We've covered, Caleb, a couple shorter passages over the last couple episodes. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to jump back into an event. What I find in my own study of the life of Jesus is when it's a teaching mm-hmm. of Jesus, I find like I go slower because right. the teaching is so deep. When it's a story, an event, it seems to be a longer passage because you want to kind of get the scene in your mind.
Right. Yeah. When Jesus speaks, it just, when you go through those passages, every time you read it, I just find more and more truths, more and more things to live by. And that's just the beauty of God's word. And just studying God's word every day is that there's truth for everybody in every story.
Jesus would have been the ultimate Twitter account because he could say more right. in a few words than exactly. than anybody. So I don't know if I've ever thought of it that way, but look at verse 28 of Luke chapter 9. If you're following along, my friends, we're talking about the transfiguration of Jesus. And it says in verse 28, it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, it's funny, I thought I misread that. I always thought that said glistening. It says glistering. That's kind of a cool word. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. So all of this was predicted by the Lord. If you'll remember the verse we read last episode, where Jesus said, some of you are standing here that will not taste death until you see me coming in my glory. So this is the fulfillment of that. So 1 week after the great confession, where Peter said, thou art the Christ, mm-hmm. 1 week later, Jesus takes three of them to a high mountain apart. Now, Caleb, you and I have been to Mount Bental in yeah. Upper Israel, and from Mount Bental, we've looked at Mount Hermon, mm-hmm. the snow-capped mountain,
right?
Which I believe was the Mount of Transfiguration. It just makes sense because it was in that area. It's the highest mountain. But whatever mountain it was, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, kind of his inner three, to this mountain to be transfigured before them so that they could see what he would look like and be like in the kingdom era, you know, in that post-resurrection yeah. glory.
Right. What an unbelievable story. You know, when I think about sometimes you feel like you want to place yourself into Bible stories. I think this would be one of those at the top there to be at that transfiguration, just to see, you know, I like how Peter states it. He says, it is good for us to be here.
Yeah.
You know,
that's kind of an understatement.
Right. You know, and just the excitement because at this point, like as we've been studying, they are dealing with Christ is clarifying to them who he really is. And they have this image of who he's going to be. And in this moment, they see, you know, they're starting to understand he is the Messiah, and they get to see who he is going to be. And just what an amazing sight that must have been for them.
And it's an incentive because yeah. Jesus said, okay, I am Messiah, but wait a minute, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. You guys have to follow after me. You're going to deny yourself, take up your cross. So there's a little bit of a, wow, that's a little bit negative. Mm-hmm. And I think Jesus kind of throws that carrot out there to say, but wait a minute, wait a minute. It all works out yeah. forever and forever and forever. So it's a great incentive, but there's so much more going on, okay? Because what is the significance of Jesus being transfigured before them, and then there's Moses and Elijah? So I really see two things there. First of all, those would be the witnesses
right.
that the Jews would understand would come ahead of Messiah.
Yeah.
We'll see them as the witnesses one day in Revelation,
yes.
Moses and Elijah. But even beyond that, so in other words, there's the witness of Jesus as Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
But even beyond that, Moses really humanly stands for the law. He wrote the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, called yeah. the Torah or the law. And then Elijah is the representative prophet. If you look at the Old Testament in two sections, you talk about the law and the prophets. So in other words, what Jesus has said to you disciples is not inconsistent with what the Bible has said, because mm-hmm. their Bible was the Old Testament.
Right.
So they're looking at Moses and Elijah. That's like George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Wow. Jesus is not some radical that's making up a new way or changing God's plan. No, he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Bible says about Jesus when he spoke to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. So the point is that this is a validation mm-hmm. of what Jesus said. It's a biblical validation. The Bible validates the ministry and testimony of Jesus.
Wow. Yeah, that is very well stated. And, you know, just thinking through that, you know, and because Peter and James and John, they have been hearing, and that's exactly what the Pharisees were trying to say, is that Jesus's ministry was blasphemous because it was against everything that the Old Testament would have stated. So, you know, just the representation of, as you stated, with Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, and Jesus saying, you know, I'm not who these, it's not how these people say it is. It is a fulfillment. It's complementary to the Old Testament.
So humanly speaking, Caleb, I cannot think of a, no pun intended, a greater mountaintop experience
yeah.
than this,
exactly.
that they are actually seeing Jesus in all of his glory. And then kind of as a side benefit, they're seeing Moses and Elijah, like the two great heroes
right.
of the Old Testament. And Peter, I think, kind of misreads it a bit. He said,
yeah.
wow, this is great. Let's make three tabernacles.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's right. You know, and I, you know, and sometimes we're hard on Peter when we read the Bible, you know, just hindsight is 20/20 because we read the whole story. But, you know, I could see myself just like that. Like, hey, let's build a tabernacle for all three of these people, the three of the greatest people, you know, to ever walk the earth, you know, and of course Jesus, but then Jesus, you know.
But God the Father came in at that moment
right.
in that cloud, and of course they were afraid, just like the people in the Old Testament when the cloud came and
yeah.
the law was given, and God said, this is my beloved Son, hear him.
Right.
In other words, this is not grace, and the ministry of Jesus is not to patch up the law or to be added to. No. This is the fulfillment of.
Right.
So this is the message. Hear him. This is the exclusive message of salvation to man from God. Hear him. So his message is not inconsistent with Moses and Elijah. It's the fulfillment of, and therefore it's the message that we all need. You know, it's interesting, Caleb. Peter never forgot this, as you never would forget this. Even though they didn't, they never talked about it during the public ministry of Jesus. They were kind of mums the word.
Yeah.
But years later, Peter wrote a couple books of the Bible, First Peter and then Second Peter. And in Second Peter, he talked about the importance of these things and the Word of God and add to your faith virtue and that whole section. And then he said, as an illustration, hey, we were with Jesus in the Holy Mount. We beheld his glory. Matter of fact, I wanted to read what it said. It says in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But then Peter said this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. So what Peter said is, as great as that experience was, the greater truth is that we have the Word of God today.
Wow.
So my friends, you're thinking, man, if I could just have been on that mountaintop experience, if I could just have seen what Peter saw, then I would believe like, I'd be a Peter too, preaching at Pentecost. But what Peter said is, no, you have a greater benefit. You have the Word of Almighty God that you can open any day, that you can peruse at any day and study. Boy, that's a great truth.
Right. Yeah. It just, it kind of convicts when you read that passage, because the whole time you're thinking, you know, as you stated, if I had just had that experience, but to think, you know, we have the law, we have the prophets, we have the words of Christ, we have, you know, the words of, obviously the Holy Spirit speaking through men like Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and just the great privilege that we have. And sometimes, you know, I find myself, you know, as a second generation, third generation Christians, you know, people growing up around church, and sometimes we forget just the miracle of having God's word. And we look at stories like this and we're like, oh, if I could just see that miracle, if God would just work in those ways. But just the miracle that we have God's word available to us, and so many times we don't even open God's word until it's Sunday, until it's the service. And that's why I just love working with you on things like this. You know, just the importance of opening God's word every day.
Everyday truth
is just an infinite amount of wisdom and truth that we can obtain every day to get us through this Christian life.
Three times in the ministry of Jesus, we read about God the Father's voice coming from heaven. Once was at the beginning of his public ministry, baptism. The last was in John 12, where the Father's voice came and said, I have glorified my name, I will glorify it. That was at the end of his ministry, right before his crucifixion. And then this time, right in the middle, to clarify his purpose. It's almost as if God showed up with his voice to say, you started right, you're on the right track, you're finishing strong. It's the voice of the validation of the Father. And we all need that validating voice, don't we?
Right. Yeah. It's just, I can't imagine the peace and the comfort that it provided for Peter, James, and John, just to know, okay, we have been following the Messiah, and it is going to work out for us in the end.
And the Father said, I'm pleased.
Yeah.
I'm pleased. And the Bible says about Jesus, I do always those things that please him. So there again is our motive, my friends, that we do what we do to please the Lord. We do what we do for his favor and his approval, not for the approval of people next to us our approval at people at work or people at church even. We do what we do for Him, and we know that He's always watching. So I hope that helps today. It's a great story in the Bible. I'd love to take you to Israel one day and to show you Mount Hermon. It's an amazing sight. But hope you have a great day today. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.